You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Thursday, March the 29th, and it is a good day for sports. Opening day for baseball, and the Sacramento Kings take on the Indiana Pacers tonight inside of the Golden 1 Center. Hello, my name is Matt George, your host of the Locked On Kings podcast, your daily podcast updates, news, scores, interviews. We have it all for you right here on the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one podcast network for daily updates for NBA, MLB, NFL. We have it all right here, whether it's team specific or league wide. The Locked On Podcast Network is where you want to be. You have made the absolute right decision. Do me a favor right off the bat. If you listen to this on iTunes, or even if you don't listen to this on iTunes, go onto the iTunes store really quick. Log in. It takes 30 seconds. All you have to do is go find the Locked On Kings podcast there, leave a rating and review. It doesn't have to be a good one, but it does us a whole heck of a lot of favors here with the Locked On Kings podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network. I would appreciate you doing so, giving your honest opinion, your feedback. If you ever want to get into conversation with me, you can absolutely do that at Matt George KHDK on Twitter, at Matt George, or sorry, mgeorge at saclocalmedia.com. You can email me. You can also find me on Facebook, Matt George there. My name is Matt George. I'm sure you could pick up on that by now. If you don't know me, I am a producer, I am a on-air host, and I am a reporter for Sports 1140 KHDK. That is the flagship radio station of the Sacramento Kings here in California's capital. Excited to bring you another preview of another Kings game tonight, the Kings and the Indiana Pacers. And the Pacers are a team that I enjoy talking about. You can tell I'm a little more excited about tonight's matchup, really for that reason. We're going to talk about and preview that. Also, Carmichael Dave, you may be familiar with him if you are in the Sacramento area. If you're not, he is the morning show host on Sports 1140 KHDK, a friend of mine, worked with him for a number of years. He is going to be joining me. He is the self-professed, or was the self-professed, tank commander. So he and I went back and forth a lot on tanking and what the Sacramento Kings are trying to do. I promise you, we're really not going to get to that. He was outside during the protests before the game on Tuesday, and he is going to be sharing his experiences from that just a little bit. We're not going to focus too much on that because I want to get more of his take on this Kings team, how they're playing right now, and kind of his wish list as we head into the offseason. So he's going to be joining me here towards the end of the podcast. And then, like I said, more of a Pacers preview. We're going to hear from Darren Carlson as well, a friend of mine. He was interviewed by another friend of mine, Sean Cunningham from Sacramento's ABC 10. He spoke to him during shoot-around yesterday inside the Golden 1 Center, and Darren had a lot of great things to say about the city of Sacramento, about the protests, and then about his time playing in Indiana. If you want, you can check out an interview that I did with Darren Carlson at the end of last season. It was actually during the summer after he found out that the Kings would not be re-signing him and signed with the Indiana Pacers. He did an interview with me. You can go to khdk.com and read the entire interview there. I wrote a story off of it. If I can find the audio eventually, I'd love to come and bring that to this platform and play that interview for you, but you can read his comments there, and I'll bring them up a little bit throughout this podcast. The Indiana Pacers are in Sacramento to take on your Kings tonight, and they are having a very, very good season, a season of a lot of surprises, low expectations, reaping high reward, 44-31, their overall record. They are fifth in the Eastern Conference, maybe most impressive. They're 7-3 over their last 10 games, a team that is really clicking on all cylinders, a team that doesn't have the sexiest of rosters, or the biggest of stars, or the biggest of names, but they play well together. They remind me of the Utah Jazz of a number of years ago, or the Atlanta Hawks when they won the Eastern Conference a couple of years ago as well. A team of good players, good solid players that play well together, have bought into a system, and they know what they do, and they do it well. The Indiana Pacers are one of my favorite teams to watch for that very reason. They move the ball around. They have their go-to guy in Victor Oladipo, which we're going to talk about in just a second. But they move the ball around well. They play to each other's strengths, and they emphasize guy number 1 through to guy number 10, 11, and 12, all those guys have bought into the same system. Victor Oladipo, he is averaging 23 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals a game. He's shooting 46% from the field. Victor Oladipo was the major acquisition by the Indiana Pacers this summer, and they got him, last summer, and they got him for a reasonable price because of his struggles with the Oklahoma City Thunder. You remember he played well in his first couple seasons with the Orlando Magic. People are thinking, okay, he has a chance to be a star shooting guard in this league. The Oklahoma City Thunder go out and get him, and initially we thought that partnership between Oladipo and Russell Westbrook would be a good thing. That was easily the worst year of Oladipo's career. He was, quite frankly, overshadowed by the success of the then MVP Russell Westbrook. We all know what Russell did last year. Both players just really didn't fit in and play well together because they play the same type of game. Victor has also done a great job to build on and expand and get better at his outside shot, which is a props to him for recognizing that as a part of his game that needed to be worked on. But he and Russell Westbrook both were very athletic, attack the basket type guards, and they seemed to run into each other, and neither one could really play off the other one because they both play the exact same game. So he's traded to Indiana Pacers, and it's a perfect example of what good a change of scenery can do sometimes. Remember, we were talking about Victor Oladipo as someone who was turning out to be a bust. Like, really, was his ceiling what he did in Orlando? Well, now that he's on a good team in Oklahoma City, he's clearly struggling and he's not playing well. Goes to Indiana, and he's showing that he can be a star, he can be a leader, and a team can win with him as their centerpiece. Again, 23 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals a game, shooting 46% last year in Oklahoma City. He averaged only 15.9 points per game, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 steal, shot 44%. A great, great, phenomenal, really, jump this year, has embraced the leadership role completely. And this is something that I mentioned in my interview with Darren Collison earlier in the podcast. When I talked to Darren after he had signed with the Indiana Pacers last summer, he told me that he was really excited to play alongside Victor Oladipo because he feels like that Victor was underrated, underappreciated from his time in Oklahoma City, and he believes that Victor could lead this team, and he looked forward to playing alongside him. Well, that's turned out to be a pretty good duo. The extra Bogdanović, which we're going to talk about, the battle of the Bogdanovićs tonight, Bojan Bogdanović, the three of them have managed to put together something great. Al Jefferson on that roster as well. Again, just this Indiana Pacers roster that's not sexy by any means, but a lot of guys that have bought in that play well together, hence their 44-31 record. I mentioned the battle of the Bogdanović tonight, Bogdan versus Bojan. Bojan Bogdanović, the second leading scorer for the Indiana Pacers, averages 14 points per game, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists. Bogdan, the Sacramento Kings rookie, 12 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists a game. So we'll see the Bogdanović is going at it this evening. Should be a fun matchup, something fun to keep your eye on tonight. Hopefully Bogey, who has been struggling recently offensively, can work himself out of that funk. So a good opportunity, a good night to do it. And based off of the Kings' performance on Tuesday against the Dallas Mavericks, they're going to need someone to step up who's not named Buddy Hield. Buddy offensively has been taking a lot of the load. They need someone else to step up, especially from the perimeter. Their last two or three games, they've shot below 30% from three-point range. Bogdan Bogdanović can definitely help that. I would love to see him being aggressive with that three-point shot tonight. But again, the battle of the Bogdanovićs tonight, a fun little storyline to keep your eye on. Darren Collison, one of my favorite players, and it's for a selfish reason. He spent a number of years here in Sacramento, and one of the guys that I really enjoyed getting to talk to and form a relationship with over the last couple of years, whether it was talking to him post-game in the Sacramento Kings locker room, or it was having him. I was the producer of our morning show, The Drive, on KHDK at the time, and we had him on as a semi-weekly guest or semi-regular guest. He was always great, willing to come on, great with the fans, great with our radio hosts, great to me. One of my favorite guys to talk to. I'm happy to say I formed a bit of a friendship with him. I hope he sees it the same way. But Darren Collison averaging 12.5 points, 5.4 assists. That is, his scoring has gone down from last year with the Kings. He averaged 3.2 points, but his assists have gone up. A good show and acknowledgement of Darren adapting to his role, buying into the system. And that was always what Darren Collison has been about. I want to play this audio for you right now. Sean Cunningham spoke with Darren. Sean Cunningham from ABC 10. We had him on the show a couple of weeks ago. He got the chance to speak with Darren before or during Indiana Pacers shoot-around yesterday inside the Golden 1 Center, and Darren had a lot of great things to say about the city of Sacramento, about the protests, and about his time with the Indiana Pacers, and then I'll share more from our interview together last summer when we come back. But take a listen. Here is Darren Collison with Sean Cunningham.
Oh man, it's been an enjoyable ride. You know, we've done some good things thus far. We accomplished one of our goals, that's making the playoffs. But we feel like, you know, we still have more room to improve. So it's about staying humble, staying in the moment, and taking one game at a time from here on out.
Has it exceeded the expectations you had kind of going in there? And when you think back to maybe you and I talking last summer before you went over there, how's this kind of exceeded and met your expectations?
A little, but not by much. I say a little because, you know, I didn't think, you know, we'll have this good of a season, but I felt like we was going to have some type of success. You know, if you look at the players on our team, we have a lot of underrated players, some good people on this team. It's a good organization, and all those things come back to you in good ways.
What's been the easiest part of fitting in? Is it kind of knowing that city, that organization already? Is it Nate? Is it players? Which kind of, if you pinpointed one thing that's made it so easy for you?
I mean, I think you hit it on the money. It's a combination of everything. I think, you know, my familiarity with everybody that's been here when the first time I'm around, you know, definitely plays a part. But it's got to be my teammates. You know, this is probably one of the best groups that I play with, you know, a very long time. They're young, but, you know, we all care about one another. The organization does a good job of checking on us quite a bit. Those are things that you don't get all the time that you got to appreciate. And it's, you know, it's well deserved for what we're doing right now. So I think everybody is staying close right now. You know, we had this thing we call 3 T's, trust, togetherness, and toughness. And it's something that we stand by, you know, every day.
You talked about, you know, that, you know, Sacramento being a pretty special place for
yeah.
you. And, you know, at the time, not really wanting to leave, kind of wanting to be a part of this situation here. Coming back here, does it feel a little strange?
No, it doesn't. It actually feels like one of my homes. I love Sac and the fans that, you know, that supported me for my time here. You know, it's a great place to play at, you know, as a player. You know, I still, you know, have my place here. You know, I still plan on coming here for the off season for a little bit, just to spend some time. I still have friends here, so it's a good environment. You know, it reminds me of like Indiana. You know, a lot of people are very genuine out here. They care about their team a lot. So you know, I'm happy to come back and play for these fans again. You know, it's always a good feeling.
What will it mean to hear a warm reception?
It mean a lot. You know, because you know they obviously know what I've been through here. You know, obviously we didn't make the playoffs, but they knew that, you know, I stayed professional and I gave his fans a lot, and I played hard every single night for them as much as I can.
Any of the young guys that you kind of tried to work with in the last 3 years you're looking forward to seeing and playing against tomorrow?
I think they're all gone. you know, Buddy Hill is a guy that, you know, I look at. Scal, those guys, Willie. You know, they were there, you know, when I was there, and they're improving. They're going to be very good young players. D-Fox, Bogdanovich, all those guys are going to be young, and they have a good young core that they could build around for a very long time here on out.
How about just in terms of form? I mean, obviously, like you said, you kept a place here, and obviously Sacramento's been in the national eye for the past couple of days because of these protests. What have just you kind of made of just that visual of like two games in the past week that have been locked down, and you know, people with tickets can't get in? What are just thoughts on that overall?
Yes, it's the times we're living in. You know, obviously we're seeing a lot of things, you know, as far as like injustice and protests going on, and the games are still trying to be played. You know, it's pretty unfortunate, you know, for some of the things that we're seeing when it comes to injustice matters. You know, I wish things would be a little different, but it's the times that we're living in. It's a lot of things that, you know, we hope not to experience for our young kids, and they're experiencing it right now. So it's something that we just got to pull through. You know, we got to stick together. Understand the times that we're living in right now is not going to get any easier. And hopefully sports is a way that can, you know, distract people from what's really going on in this world. So we try to do our best as individuals, as athletes, but it definitely needs a change.
Great stuff from DC. And you heard him at the end talking about how he enjoys Sacramento still. He has a warm place in his heart. He has a good appreciation for the fans and a good connection with a lot of the fans here that embraced him throughout his years that he was here. Still has his house here, so we'll be spending time this summer in Sacramento. And I emphasize this, and I emphasize this really in my interview that I did with him last summer. Darren did not want to leave. Darren actually was A-okay with being essentially what George Hill was supposed to be this year. Darren Collison wanted to remain here and be part of the regime of veterans that helped teach and pass the torch to the youth. Darren Collison wanted to be the leader and the guy who taught and was the veteran for De'Aaron Fox and for Frank Mason. That's what Darren wanted to be. Now, of course, he didn't know the Kings draft picks at the time because that was before the draft when he was told essentially he was not going to be returning to Sacramento. But Darren was a little frustrated by the Kings and a little, especially after the DeMarcus Cousins trade, because he thought the overall goal, which it was at the time, the overall goal was for the Kings to make the playoffs. That, of course, changed on a dime last season. And then he was disappointed that he was not going to be a part of the Kings going forward, but found himself in a very, very good situation with Indiana. And he told me right from the very beginning, man, I think we have a very underestimated roster here in Indiana. I believe that we are going to be a successful team. We have a lot to prove. Victor Oladipo is going to be a good guy to play with. He's excited to play with him. And lo and behold, Darren has been right pretty much on every level so far. It's going to be fun to see him return to Sacramento. I hope he gets a warm ovation tonight from the Kings crowd. If you are going to the game this evening, when Darren is introduced, I hope that you give him the applause and the cheering that he deserves. He fought hard and played hard here through a very rough situation. He was the longest tenured King here for a long time through the ups and downs, whether it was the George Karl era, dealing with everything after the relocation, dealing with the ups and downs with DeMarcus Cousins. Darren was there for all of it, and he stayed true and played hard through all of it. One of the best guys in this league, best human beings in this league, and a guy that I'm really proud of and thankful that he had his time here in Sacramento. I'm excited to see what he can do in the playoffs with the Indiana Pacers, and I'm hoping he doesn't torch us and he and Victor don't torch the Kings too bad tonight. Tonight is a game that I see the Sacramento Kings losing. I guarantee to win against Dallas. I might say I guarantee a lose tonight or a loss tonight for the Kings, maybe so I can flip a fate on its head and get bailed out by my bad luck with picking. But this is a game that I expect the Sacramento Kings to lose. That being said, the one expectation I absolutely have for this for tonight is that the Kings give a whole heck of a lot better of an effort than they did against Dallas. We talked about it yesterday. The Kings underestimated the Dallas Mavericks, really took them for granted. We saw what the result was from that. I guarantee you the Kings will not do that tonight, especially against a playoff team that's 44-31 overall. If they do, the Indiana Pacers are more than primed to take advantage and embarrass this team. And I know the Kings will be and should be absolutely 100% ready to go tonight. Joined by a guy that I had the appropriate word is pleasure of working with for a little bit over a year, the host of KHDK's morning show, The Drive. It is Carmichael Dave, formerly the Tank Commander, now the humble fan. And Dave, first off, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me and come on the Locked On Kings podcast. I know it took a lot of money and a lot of scheduling, but we finally got you on.
I've been in radio almost 20 years, and I have finally hit the pinnacle, Manny. It is an honor and a privilege.
So, Dave, you are outside of the Golden One Center, and I promised the listeners here that we weren't going to spend too much more time on the protests and everything happening outside. We want to focus as much on what's going on in the building as possible. Hopefully that is the case tonight against the Indiana Pacers. But I have to touch base. You were out there. Your wife and son were inside the Golden One Center, but you were not able to be in there on Tuesday. But you were outside, and you were able to interact with a lot of fans and see everything firsthand, what was going on. A different feel, you would say, than from the protests on Thursday last week.
I think it was a much different feel, and one that was a lot more frustrating, I think, for fans. I think the bulk of fans, I'd say 80-20 on social media and on my show after the initial protests, were understanding. Yes, it was an inconvenience, but they got it. The last game, there was not as much understanding, and I was glad to see the mayor and the police department announced that they were taking further steps for the following games to make sure fans could get in. That will hopefully, I knock on wood and cross my fingers, avoid a bad situation. But just listen, on one side you have a tragedy and death and real life stuff. But on the other side you have, and I mentioned this several times on my show, the one that stood out to me was a family from Ireland with two little boys, right around my kid's age, 9 and 8 years old, that couldn't get into the game. They'd made the trip from Ireland, and this was one of the highlights. They couldn't get in. These kids don't understand. I'd said on Twitter, you know, hey, I didn't know what to say to them, nor was it my place. Of course, you have the cesspool of social media saying, well, tell them that there's injustice in the world, or tell them that that people are taking over and breaking the law and protest. No, I'm not going to tell these kids that. I'm going to tell them I'm sorry. I apologize. I don't know what to say, but, you know, there's an ice cream shop down the street. I didn't know what to say. It's an uncomfortable situation for everybody. It probably should be an uncomfortable situation for everybody, and hopefully something that will continue to move forward very peacefully.
I'm glad you brought up the Irish family. I shared that tweet and I shared that little bit of a story on yesterday's podcast in the brief time that I spent talking about the protest. And it, for me, when I read that tweet and I heard about that story, I felt gross because I've tried to stay as neutral as possible in terms of, you're exactly right, it's tragedy on one side versus inconvenience on the other. And for the common fan like myself who may go to the Golden One Center and have the privilege of being able to go frequently because it's in my hometown, that's one thing. And, you know, if I miss a game or two, that's unfortunate. I turned around. Ultimately, I just didn't understand what fans who were inconvenienced had to complain about more than their personal time. Their tickets were reimbursed. They did not miss out financially on a night out other than they spent the gas to, I guess, go down. It was inconvenience. Sure. But when you talk about an Irish family that comes all the way over, it's like our friend Danny from England, who'd spend all their time coming all the way over those thousands of miles to come to Sacramento to be able to finally see their team play. This could potentially be their only chance to be able to do it in their lifetime.
Yep.
And then to show up, be all excited and witness that. You can certainly feel for that. The good news is, though, you share with me this morning, Dave, and I wanted to wait till for you to say this on the podcast. The good news is that hopefully they're being taken care of, that our Irish family is going to be able to come back and enjoy a game here very soon.
Yeah, it's a happy ending. And the only asterisk on that happy ending is that maybe not everybody was coming from Ireland, but there were kids all over the place and adults that couldn't get into the game. And certainly the Kings are always fantastic about this and really being in touch with the community. And when things go wrong or there's a mishap or whatever, in a normal situation, this is obviously a very unique situation and brand new. And so I say this with the empathy of knowing that there are not a lot of happy endings and there are a lot of people that won't get a happy ending to not being able to go to the game. But in this particular case, it stuck with me. And there was really not much I could do other than offer, speaking of my empathy. Grant Napier, as you know, does the play-by-play on television, also hosts a show on KHDK in the afternoon. He's a good friend of mine, and he had read my tweet, and we were talking about it on the phone yesterday. You know, we're talking, of course, today, the night of the Pacers-Kings game. So he called a member of ownership, who I can't mention, and these are always the best things when they go unmentioned. And actually, Grant would prefer that I kept this quiet, but I can't. I just can't do that. Grant called a member of ownership, and tonight those two boys, along with the parents, as I understand it, are going to be sitting in what I think are the best seats in the house. They are the four big black leather seats that are in between Media Row and the King's Bench, right there courtside. It's going to be the best seats they've ever sat at a sporting event, I'm sure. And Grant's going to meet them before the game, before he has to do his TV duties. He's going to give them a tour of the place. He's going to get them fed and get them a couple sodas or whatever, and then take them out, have them meet the coach and a couple players, and really give them what was a really unfortunate evening for them. He's going to give them what I assume would be, if it's not the night of their lives, it'll certainly rank up there. And that you can't fix everything. And we're not just talking about Kings fans missing a game. We're obviously talking about many more important things that happened outside the game. There's not a happy ending for everyone, but you do what you can. And in this case, I give all the credit in the world to Grant, who is one way on the air, but as I've said many times publicly, he's a good friend of mine for a reason, because the guy, you know, the guy that has run one of the most successful golf tournaments in Sacramento for years that benefits his Future Foundation, which sends kids who can't afford to go to college to college. And they have sent a ton of kids to college, all the charity stuff he does behind the scenes, and stories like this. These are things Grant does all the time, and they don't get publicity, nor does he want it. But I got a big fat mouth, and I'm going to praise him all day long. So it's a good ending to an uncomfortable situation, Matt, at least in that case.
Enough about the stuff happening outside. What we care about is happening inside the arena. Dave, you and I have disagreed a number of times throughout this season about what's better for the Kings, losing for a better draft pick or winning and going into the offseason feeling maybe a little bit better about your roster. Ultimately, though, we're both on the same page with we believe that these guys are going to be at least in the pieces on the team right now, the De'Aaron Foxes, Bogdan Bogdanoviches, those guys are going to be the centerpieces of this team, hopefully going forward and getting back to prominence. Dave Yeager was very open about his disappointment with the Kings and their loss to the Dallas Mavericks on Tuesday. However, he said one thing afterwards. He said, like, it's time to, basically, I'm paraphrasing, throwing these guys into the fire. This is the team going forward. These are the guys that are going to get the big bulk of the minutes they need to develop and learn. How confident are you with that group going into this summer? Yes, additions are going to come, and ultimately this is going to be a very important offseason for this franchise. But with this group, Buddy Hield included in those names that I threw out earlier, how confident are with you with how they'll approach this summer and develop and hopefully adapt, and what will we see coming into next fall?
I'm not very confident. If I'm being honest, I'm not confident. I haven't been given much reason as a fan and as somebody who covers this team to be confident. Certainly there are bright sides, but there are also misses. I'm not happy with the way the team handled the end of the year, as you mentioned. It's just the reality of the situation. You said the word gross earlier, and I felt when I was having fun with the whole Tank Commander stuff, listen, it is gross. To quote-unquote root for losses for your team in this environment is disgusting. And my thing was just trying – I anticipated – almost every game being a loss to end the year, and wanting to keep fans engaged and have something to talk about and try to have a little bit of fun with a bad situation and wins and losses. But the Kings had other things in mind. They decided to, win five of 10, six of 12. And about a month ago, they were right there in the 1-2-3 spot for ping pong balls. Now they're in the 7-8-9 spot. So there's no guarantees. You can lose the lottery and win the lottery. But if it goes to chalk, the Kings are going from choosing between Luka Doncic, DeAndre Ayton, and Jaren Jackson, let's say. Now they're choosing between perhaps Mohamed Bamba, Michael Bridges, Wendell Carter. And the one thing I would focus on here is that I don't know who on the Kings is a star. I don't know that they have a star. I know that I think De'Aaron Fox could be a star. But De'Aaron Fox also did not have a breakout rookie year. De'Aaron Fox showed flashes. Bogdan Bogdanović, he's going to be a great player. He already is a good player. Is he going to be a star? I don't think so. In fact, I would ask you to look at this entire roster and take Harry Giles aside, who we haven't seen, but I don't know that they have a single future all-star on the team. I think Fox would be the leader of that group, but I don't know that they do. So for me, without having a 2019 first-round draft pick, with the fact that I believe both Vlade and Dave Yeager's jobs are on the line next year, and the fact that they have a lot of money available and are going to throw a max contract at pretty much everybody available in the NBA, I think they needed a higher pick here. That being said, as has been said ad nauseum, Donovan Mitchell was at number 13. Kyle Kuzma was wherever the heck he was. Draymond Green in the second round. And, oh, by the way, they could still win the lottery. So we'll have to see. But I just hope we're not having this conversation 5 years from now and saying, well, they beat the Heat, and they had that one win against the Magic. So that was neat. That's not going to matter in 2 or 3 years. What's going to matter is the talent on the roster.
We're going to talk more about this in the future, especially when it comes to I like that you brought up free agency, because free agency is going to be big for the Kings. I would love to have you back on here maybe in the next month or so when free agency is about to kick off to talk about that. Last thing for you, though, with the Kings approach to the Indiana Pacers tonight, I'm sure there are a lot of fans that feel the same way as you are, kind of unsure about this team going forward. What do you look for in games like this and in these final seven games of the season? Does it just come down to losing for the best possible draft pick, or is there anything specific on the court you're looking for from these young players?
Listen, if I had my druthers, and again, this is disgusting to say as a Kings fan, but they'd lose the next seven games and secure a pick. I don't think that's going to happen. Although you saw signs of that in the last game, that the Kings, when they lost to the Mavericks, when you had Kostakoufos, I believe he had, 14 points and 7 boards in 14 minutes and didn't play in the second half. Now, if I'm wrong, unless Costa had an injury or was sick or something was picked up, when a guy is clearly your best player in the first half, and especially a guy that Coach Yeager trusts so much in Costa, and you don't play him a minute in the second half, that is very clear tanking procedure. That is the definition of it. So I don't know what their approach is going to be the last seven games, but assuming they're trying to win and assuming they're playing the young guys a lot of minutes, I'm looking for what I've been looking for all year. I'm looking for Justin Jackson to have a consistent jump shot. I'm looking for Willie Cauley-Stein, who is still a young guy. He's only in his third year. I'm looking for Willie to have more consistency and be engaged for every minute he's playing. I'm looking for De'Aaron Fox to let the game come to him and utilize his explosiveness in a way that also embraces the fundamentals of basketball that he needs to continue to have an eye on. I'm looking for Frank Mason to continue to be one of the more productive members of the team. And I'm looking for Buddy Hield to continue showing that although maybe he's best suited as a guy off the bench as a sixth man, you can't afford to do that on a team like this with as little talent as they have. I'd like to see him continue to do the most with the least, both on the offensive and defensive side, and set himself up perhaps to be a starter next year with the amount of explosiveness he has scoring-wise in his arsenal. So just basically, Matt, I'm looking for glimpses.
Yeah.
So,
Dave, thank you so much for taking the time. If you want to hear more of Carmichael Dave, his show on the KHDK airwaves in the morning from 6 to 9 a.m. It is called The Drive with Kyle Madsen as well joining him. You can listen to that on the KHDK app. Download that app. You can listen to him on demand, his interviews, everything, anytime. But again, if you're in local area and you want to listen every single morning, 6 to 9 a.m. Dave, thank you for spending the time. Your check is in the mail.
Next time, don't promote Kyle. It's mainly just me.
It's the Carmichael Dave show with some guy
with
that
Carmichael
helps.
Dave
I used to be that some guy. So
you are the some guy. Look at you now.
Look at me.
You made it.
New heights.
See you, buddy.
My thanks to Carmichael Dave for joining me on today's podcast, and my thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks also to Sean Cunningham of ABC 10 for getting that interview audio with Darren Collison that we used on today's show. If you want to hear more from Sean or Dave, check out KHDK, ABC 10. It's all right there for you. And if you want to catch more of me and the Locked On Kings podcast, you know what to do. Just keep it right here. Again, you can do me a huge favor and the rest of us here at the Locked On Podcast Network by logging onto iTunes, finding the Locked On Kings podcast, leave a rating and a review. We would appreciate that so much. It gives us good feedback. Also, if you want to reach out to me personally, at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter, or you can email me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia. That's saclocalmedia.com. Find me there as well. I've gotten great emails and great Twitter interactions, mentions from all of you, and it's fantastic, and I appreciate that. Keep those coming, because this is not just a show where I am talking down to you. This is a show, a conversation between all of us, interaction between all of us, and I appreciate that interaction with you every single time. You're willing to take the time not just to listen to me, but want to have a conversation with me. I appreciate that. I look forward to recapping this Kings and Pacers game tomorrow, as well as more Sacramento Kings content. Until then, my name is Matt George. Thank you for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.